Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to you for Wednesday, April 30th, 2014. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Dr. Doug. I'm really excited about tonight's show. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. We have a couple of things to announce, and we have Dr. Olga Nordstrom with us, and we'll get to her in just a moment. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly program, we also operate a couple of schools, the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, IMHS, is where we offer bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics with specializations such as spiritual counseling, life coaching, paranormal science, and holistic healing, many others. If you'd like more information about that school, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. We also operate ICHS, which is the International College of Humanistic Science, where you can take standalone courses or you can get certified in such things as spiritual counseling and holistic healing and things like that. The website address for that is ichsworld.org. We would like to welcome those who are joining us tonight for the live program or in the archives. We're glad you're spending some time with us. Looks like we've got some people in the chat room. And we've got a couple of things going on this week that are special. One of them is we have our very first online graduation ceremony for IMHS. That's this Saturday at 5. So if you're a student listening to this, we hope you'll join us 5 p.m. That's Eastern, 9 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, Universal Coordinated Time, UTC, GMT. So if you're a student, you know where the information is. It's in the Student Center at IMHS, and it has the time zone converter. So it's 9 p.m. Universal Coordinated Time, 5 p.m. Saturday, May 3rd, Eastern time, so you can calculate your time for that. And if you are going to attend, we hope you will. This is to students and their families and friends and graduates, of course. Try to log in to the link about 15 minutes early, 10 to 15 minutes early. That'll give you a chance to get into the chat room. And if you haven't registered yet, but you've completed your bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree at IMHS, I invite you to register right away. We'd love to have you part of it. There'll never be another first graduation ceremony. So,
you know, I got to say, it's really amazing what you have primarily set up here, Doug, for an online graduation. It's very exciting. We're being techno-friendly as much as we can, you know, in lieu of everybody flying in, you know, across the planet. So, I mean, it's I was telling one of my daughters today that we're having the graduation on Saturday, and she says, I've never heard of such a thing. That is really cool. So, you know, we're trying to be cool.
Well, yeah, we're trying.
Well,
to
you know
cool.
what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I, of course, I wish I could claim the idea, but I can't. I mean, there's other colleges that do it, and one of our graduates, Dr. Brian Arndt, suggested it to me a few months back, and we tried to schedule a live ceremony, but it just wasn't in the cards for right now. So we decided to do the next best thing, and so this graduation will be nice. It'll be on here on Blog Talk Radio on a private link and chat room, and we should have a lot of students and student body and graduates there as well. And I'd also like to announce too that finally got my son involved in this.
Yay!
You know how I talk about every single week about this, right?
Yes,
it's live for me to say yes.
Yes, of course. It's like Ellen did wanting to be on Oprah. You know, it's like for weeks and weeks and months and months.
Yeah.
You know.
So anyway, Michael Kelly, my son, he is going to be producing the show and screening calls, and I tell you, I'm happy. Welcome, Michael. You can say hi.
Fine. Hi. I'm very happy to be here, and I'm very, very excited to be part of the show.
Yeah, it's nice to have you. I'm just happy that, you're back there behind the scenes, and, he's sharp, smart, and all that stuff that only a parent can say.
Oh, but he's got a great radio voice, too. I was saying that before the show. He's just got a. We're going to have you on sometime there, Michael. What is it like to be the son of Dr. Doug? Oh, no.
Oh,
no, we won't do
it's
that
so
show.
So wonderful.
See, he can lie, too, like a kid. No. Anyway,
Bob. Well, it's just fantastic.
There you go.
Good son.
Good to have you there. Put you back on hold. So now what that means is if you have some comments or questions you'd like to talk about during the show, now we can take those calls. So we're inviting you to call in. Now tonight we have Dr. Olga Nordstrom with us. She just graduated at IMHS. She's been here for, I don't know, a couple of years or so. She's also been teaching our Reiki courses and doing a smash-up job. Welcome, Dr. Olga.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me tonight.
Well, I'm really excited to have you here, too, Olga. I mean, I got questions because it's always good to share ideas and, you know, talk about your journey and what brought you here. And I think a lot of other people are interested, too. So looking forward to it.
Okay. Yeah, me too. So if our listeners, if you're listening to this program live and you have a question for Olga, then please feel free to call in. You can see the number there at the top of your screen. It's 714-459-3973. Michael will be there to screen your calls. If you have Skype, you can also click on the Skype icon that's part of that too and call in that way. All right, so here's the deal. Olga just completed her dissertation, did a bang-up job, got the Akasha Scholars Award for it, which is our highest honor. She just did an excellent job. The title of that dissertation is the title of the show, Life Leadership Skills, Fundamental Keys to Success as a Spiritual Counselor or Healer. So, Olga, I'm just going to kind of turn over to you for just a minute. Why did you write on that topic? What was the motivation?
Well, just to give a little bit of background, I had started learning Reiki about 4 years ago. And when I started learning Reiki, of course, this opened up my social circle to include many people who were involved in metaphysical fields like energy healing and, you know, spiritual counseling and so on. And so it just was very exciting to me, and I wanted to get more into this. But one thing that I noticed when I was interacting with these people and then when I started to take on my own clients was that we were having significant challenges, you know, whether it was in the way that we interacted with our clients or our students, or in the way that, you know, maybe we weren't setting proper boundaries for ourselves and so on because we wanted to help. And so we were these people with these great skills and all this training, but we just weren't being as successful as we wanted to be in the work we were doing to help others. And we, you know, I knew that I wasn't finding it as fulfilling as I thought as it would be. And it just so happens that at the time that I was experiencing, you know, some pretty major challenges with clients, that was when I happened to come across the school, IMHS. And I this sounded fantastic. You know, we were going to be learning about these life leadership skills. And once I started in the program, I started to learn what these life leadership skills were. I saw that I can apply these to my own life, and perhaps this was what was missing, you know, in terms of me having these challenges and not finding the success that I thought I would have. And that was really what prompted this idea of my dissertation. And for those of you who don't know, the life leadership skills that I'm talking about, they come from the life leadership paragon that Dr. Kelly created, and they are the skills of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and then these all come together to create self-completeness.
Wow, great job.
Right, and so that was what I wanted to explore in this dissertation, that I wanted to look at this a little bit deeper. It's interesting to see that, you know, so many of us as spiritual counselors and healers have all of these interesting techniques and modalities that we've learned, and we're very skilled in them. but there was something that was kind of holding us back in terms of success. And it seemed that the thing that was missing were these life leadership skills. And the way that I explored it in my dissertation was to apply examples from my own life or from what I observed interacting with my colleagues and addressing the importance of each of the life leadership skills within these fields of spiritual counseling and spiritual healing.
Well, and that's fantastic. We're hiring her.
We already did hire her.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, we're so, aren't we smart to hire her? You know, I have a question, though. In your experience, then, in taking this all the way to your dissertation, which it was extraordinary, I had the privilege of reading it. It was fantastic. But have you noticed that you have also been able to affect or influence your colleagues?
Absolutely. In some cases, a lot of times my colleagues became my clients and my students, you know, because I would start talking to them about these ideas, and then they would become more open to them. And, you know, we ended up in a position where, you know, maybe they took a class with me in which I explained some of this, or they did sessions with me in which I did a little bit of coaching and we talked about some of this. But what was interesting was that any time I brought up to a colleague something like self-acceptance, and I might give an example, say, you know, if we're chasing down every new course that we hear of because we have a fear of missing out, then maybe there's something we need to assess within ourselves. You know, are we really truly accepting ourselves for who we are? And, you know, if we're chasing after every new class and every new, I don't know, you know, spiritual guru who comes along, isn't that something that our clients might notice, and maybe they won't think we're reliable, or maybe they might question if they can trust us because it looks like we're not grounded and we're not comfortable with ourselves. So how can, you know, they feel comfortable working with us? And so, yeah, there have been times that we've had, you know, I've had these conversations with my colleagues, and, you know, we start to explore these ideas and come up with these examples from our own lives. And sometimes, like I said before, you know, my colleagues became my students, and so we were able to talk about this in a lot more depth.
Well, I think that's fantastic. And I think if I can inject here, there would be a difference if there's a counselor who is taking classes and appears to be improving and growing and becoming more, you know, self-absorbed and grounded, as we say,
right,
than somebody who is not changing and going to all these, like, I call them workshop junkies myself.
Agreed. Right. Exactly. It's like they're chasing after every new sparkly workshop. You know, they're chasing after all of these courses and workshops, and I think sometimes people do get addicted to this, and that it becomes an addiction for them, and they have such a strong fear of missing out that they never really settle and never really figure out, you know, what it is they're good at and what it is that they have to offer to the world. And so
what should they be doing?
Well, I mean, this is where we talk about, you know, self-acceptance and just, you know, being really comfortable with who you are and what you've accomplished, and having a realistic view of what you've accomplished, and trying to find a grounded and practical way to use the skills you have to help other people.
Okay. So, and I hope I didn't miss this, if you had mentioned it, but when it comes to groundedness, and you stress that in your dissertation, which is great because we stress that at IMHS, being grounded, in what ways are some maybe not so grounded, and how can they come back down to earth?
Well, I think one of the things that happens in this world of metaphysics and metaphysical counseling and healing is that it can be very easy for us to get caught up in the drama of the things that we do. So, you know, if we get caught up in the shamanic healing and, you know, maybe we have to act a certain way and dress a certain way, and it's all very, you know, flamboyant and so on. So we get caught up in the drama, and it's very easy to do that, I think, in these fields, because we're studying really interesting kind of cool things, and, you know, maybe we lose track of just, you know, staying, like what we talked about, staying grounded. So, you know, I've seen people who just get caught up in, you know, giving people scary diagnoses just out of the blue. You know, I see this, you know, cloud, black cloud around you and so on, and these kinds of very, you know, woo-woo, I call them woo-woo things that these that people might do. And it's just that, you know, I think it's just about trying to remain grounded and remain stable, just recognizing that sometimes when you might come across as ungrounded or a little bit unstable, it's really off-putting to people. And so you just want to make sure that, you know, you're not crossing anybody's boundaries. You're just maintaining a really practical approach to what it is you do. And, you know, trying to find, even if what you do may be out totally out of the ordinary, just finding a practical way to explain what it is you do and finding a practical way to use that to help people in their everyday lives.
Okay.
That makes perfect sense. I mean, it's just you're saying being sensible and not woo-woo.
Right.
No woo-woo for you.
Yeah.
Well, and I think I completely understand what you're saying, Olga, and if I can paraphrase for a second, that getting caught up in the drama of the mysteries has people forget about real life skills.
Right.
That kind of makes sense in a way.
Exactly.
So you've actually coached some acquaintances or colleagues on some of these different principles, am I correct?
Yes.
And with good results, right?
Yes. There was one of my favorite, you know, examples is a colleague of mine who, you know, we're talking about things that are woo-woo, but she loved angels, and her whole thing was that she did angel healing, and she did a lot of angel communication and so on. And she had gotten so caught up in this that even when she was, you know, struggling with her business and with money, she was, you know, well, I'm doing all of this stuff where I'm putting flowers on my angel altar and I'm putting requests in my angel box and I'm just leaving it all in the hands of the angels. And she wasn't making any money in her business. She had no new students and no new clients. And when we spoke one day and she was giving me, you know, asking me for suggestions, I just asked a very practical question. Well, what have you been doing to try to get more clients, more leads, more students? You know, have you done any brainstorming to figure out what you can try to do next? And she hadn't. She said, no, I was taught to leave it all in the hands of the angels, which makes no practical sense whatsoever. So she wasn't doing, you know, the most fundamental thing of just trying to figure out how to solve this problem. And so in coaching her and in speaking, you know, about, you know, you have to be self-responsible. You can't just leave it all in the hands of, you know, a god or ancestors or spirit or, you know, all of these other terms that people use. You have to be practical. And so we went back to just the basics of, you know, what are some practical solutions for trying to attract clients or trying to attract students. And because she had all of this knowledge about angels and angel healing, and, you know, we worked through action plans and we set goals and so on over an 8-week period, she was very easily able to create an angel healing course, which for some reason she hadn't thought of before, but an advanced healing course. She was able to charge quite a bit of money for it. And very quickly she had 12 new students and had, you know, in the year before, she had only earned about $5,000 for the whole year, and with this new class, within just a few months, she was able to earn more than $12,000 in 2 months just from putting into action the plans that she had made. And so it was just a really good example of how, you know, when you are self-responsible and you're taking steps to take care of yourself and your business as a counselor, as a healer, that you can make, you know, really big strides in being successful.
Good example. So just to reiterate, you know, she stopped relying on something outside of herself and started being responsible for her own future.
Exactly. You know,
like we teach in the courses, I'm exactly. looking at the person responsible for my future, you know, when you look in the mirror.
Exactly. And that's not to say she didn't plug into some universal energy, because I think, you know, when we study basic quantum mechanics and quantum physics, I mean, we have to plug in somewhere and project that energy. So we're creating movement, and we start intersecting, as I say, with, you know, equal frequencies. So I think there is that. But the beautiful thing about what you're reinforcing, Olga, is that, you know, spirits can't do for us what we don't do for ourselves.
Right.
And it's kind of that simple. So the action plans are great. Man, that just makes perfect sense to me, too.
That's good. It is. And so we're talking about self-responsibility. And again, forgive me, I'm trying to manage everything here. But if when it comes to self-acceptance, you speak of the I'm Special Syndrome, which we teach in the courses. How have you noticed that being holding people back?
Well, in a number of ways. One is, a common sign or a common way in which self or lack of self acceptance holds people back is, it's when they start taking things very personally. So let's say they're taking their relationship with their clients very personally, in the sense that maybe they're just over-involved in what the, you know, the client's progress. You know, I had my own example in which I had a client who wasn't, quote-unquote, progressing the way that I thought she would in terms of energy healing, the energy healing that I was doing for her. And I found myself taking it very personally, and I was taking myself way too seriously. And it really affected, you know, the way that I interacted with this client, but it also affected the way that I perceived myself. And so my esteem, you know, went down, because I was thinking, oh, well, I thought I was such a good healer, and now what I'm doing isn't helping. And, you know, it just kind of spiraled out of control, in which I was just, you know, just taking myself way too seriously. And that's just, that's one way in which that shows, you know, lack of self-acceptance. And, right. And I found that once I started to apply this rule of self-acceptance and accepting myself for who I am, and also accepting the client for who she was, I was able to realize that, okay, I obviously wasn't having a very healthy relationship, you know, client-healer relationship, and that needed to change. And so that's one way. And then other ways in which people, you know, show lack of self-acceptance is when they aren't, I mean, they don't have a realistic view of their accomplishments or of other people's accomplishments. And so they're constantly comparing themselves. You know, I have only 3 modalities, you know, 3 healing modalities, but this other person has 20 healing modalities. So you're doing this comparison, you know, that is just really unhealthy, and that just puts you on this road that you're expending so much energy comparing yourself and trying to live up to this elevated expectation that's not realistic. And it just, of course, it holds you back. You end up spending a lot of time and energy just trying to fulfill some ideal that isn't realistic or even necessary.
But don't trends have something to do with that too, Olga? When people think that they have to, you know, keep up with the trends to be competitive in this business, because in that way it is a business.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know, it's like, oh, what's the latest trend, and what are people buying, and
exactly.
And, you know, I found that it's really important for me to stay kind of narrowed down to only doing 1 or 2 things, as opposed to, I've learned a lot of different things, but to keep it clear, concise, and consistent in what I offer people as opposed to what other people do. And that's not to say I'm not interested, because I do. I think angel cards are pretty cool. I don't use them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then we have to, because I've been doing this a long time, it's like I have to suffer the trends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's got to wait for the next wave, and then they'll be back, because people are off on a trend.
Right, right.
But I think when the actual counselors and healers are doing, you know, perpetuating those trends, it is kind of disconcerting in a way. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I do. And sometimes when I apply, anytime something new comes along and, or, you know, my colleagues are saying, oh, there's this new workshop going on, we should all go, I, you know, make sure I do a little bit of critical thinking, you know, is this really for me? Do I really need to do this? And so on. And I always remind myself that just to stay clear of groupthink, you know, and that, okay, maybe in terms of evolution, at some point it was really necessary for all of us to do the same thing, but it's not necessary for all of us to do the same thing anymore as human beings. Like, we can think for ourselves, we can think critically about what's right for us, and then that's how I make my decisions. And often, you know, the trendiest new workshop is just, it's really, really not for me. And most times I realize they don't even teach me anything new. It's just a revamp of old thoughts anyway.
You know, you just, that was a great term you used about groupthink.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great term.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking in the group, you know, with colleagues as opposed to individual, and then perhaps accessing group support that we continue to self-grow. I mean, the groupthink, that's an awesome term.
Well, groupthink is really akin to themistine, isn't it? You only feel good about what you're doing when you're doing what the group's doing, or you feel that validation.
Right.
So you've covered some great points. I mean, we've talked about self-acceptance, responsibility, respect for free will. How does that come into place briefly with a practitioner?
Well, the one thing that I really, for me personally, that I really had to remind myself of was that respect for free will was a two-way street. So in one way, of course, we have to, respect for free will means that we respect, you know, other people's boundaries, and we respect, you know, their right to do whatever it is that they want to do, you know, as long as they're, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
do no
then,
harm.
Right, exactly. And then, but in the same way, it goes both ways, in that I also have to respect my boundaries and make my boundaries clear to the people, to other people around me. And I think that's where a lot of spiritual counselors and healers, they forget that our job isn't to just help, you know, without just continue helping.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have to create our own boundaries so that...
Good points. Yeah. And so you wrap all these up together and you have a more self-complete practitioner.
Exactly.
And, you know, you've made some good points and, you know, great points for everybody to practice. Stay away from them, esteem. Find your own self-completeness. Be who you are. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Take responsibility for your actions. Love yourself. You know, some excellent points, and of course your dissertation went much deeper into it, but you did an excellent job. You've done an excellent job through the program. You've been an excellent instructor, and we're glad to have you as part of IMHS.
And for anybody who wants to know, you can take Dr. Olga Nordstrom's Reiki classes at ICHS and IMHS.
Yep. Visit metaphysicsinstitute.org if you want to enroll in the degree program, or ichsworld.org if you want to take standalone courses. Olga, thanks so much for being with us tonight. We appreciate your time. It was great having you. And I wish I could extend the show, but apparently I have no longer have the ability to extend shows. So
no way. I'm disappointed.
Well, I'll have to, you know, buy out more time in the future. I just didn't want to
give
people false hopes, you know. We'll schedule 2 hours. Oh, they're going to be here for 2 hours. Now we're only going to be here for 30 minutes. So,
well, it's
anyway.
Been a great show. Thank you, Olga. You're a natural on the radio. I know this is your first time, but you're a natural. You spoke really well. And, man, you really have a great way of delivery, so thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. You're welcome.
Thanks. And again, thanks to everybody for listening to the live show or the archives, whichever one you're on. We appreciate the folks in chat. Thanks for joining us tonight. And again, we welcome and are deeply thankful for our new sound producer, Michael Kelly, who happens to be related to moi. And as far as this Saturday, don't forget our graduation students. you haven't registered to graduate, please do so. It's time's up. See you next week. Take care.
Good night.
Good night.